Everybody, take your seats. Let's move into the formal work session. I think our first call of the formal session to order. Our first topic would be any public comment. Anyone would like to address the board?
All right, how do I get to
where are we going here?
Okay. On the workshop, huh? I'm gonna go above there. Right here. I'll let you do it.
So there are no public comments. Okay, our next topic will then move. We have to approve the minutes, right? So the approval of the minutes. Is there any discussion on the minutes? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
They're approved. Okay, first topic, programming division. Six-year improvement plan.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. For your action today, I have the transfers for the 2014 through 16 six-year improvement program from December through January, moving surpluses off of projects to other projects to be used or to balance entries, especially if they're special funds. I would like to point out on the less than 10% list, which is on the third page of the handout, row C, based on a Hampton Roads Transportation Planning Organization resolution, they are moving $44 million of the Hampton Roads Transportation Funds to the I-64 Capacity Improvement Project on the peninsula. And that's the first time they've indicated a use of funds. And I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Yeah. All right.
Do we have to approve that?
We have to move them off our books
because all that does flow through our books, and per the MOA, we agreed that
it's an interesting question. I don't know if we could I don't know that we could say no.
Yeah, but we've had this debate before. If we can't say no, then we can't say yes.
Well, I think you have two competing laws. You have the law that says they control their use of monies, but we physically have it on our books. She can't move it off our books until we tell her.
This is like CMAG, Northern Virginia, and what they put in. It's we're the most required to rubber stamp.
We ought to get the legislature to fix that problem.
The HTAC does.
Does that fix the problem?
That fixes this problem. It doesn't go in our books at all.
Because I'll tell you, and I'm going to support it, but if I had been voting at the TPO, I would have voted no.
Well, you knew as much as I did.
And I think there's some others in the room that would have voted no as well. It was, in my view, it was not, and you heard me, I think you heard me speak to it. No, you weren't there.
I wasn't there.
You weren't there, but I spoke to it, and I thought it was a bad decision because I thought that it was premature.
Can you specify which one you thought?
Oh, I'm sorry.
The $44 million.
They took $40 or $50 million from the new regional money and put it on a road widening project that we're in the midst of doing with statewide money. And they did it to accelerate it past one intersection, one exit to the next on 64.
Not to extend.
Well, to accelerate the progress. Accelerate the progress. Because it's already planned. It's already planned, yeah. The project's already planned. It's on the books. It was just funded to a certain place, and they put some more money onto it. The whole concept of having mega projects, they did exactly the opposite. They picked a little bit out, and they put it on an existing project to move it forward one exit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, stop. You know, it didn't make sense to me, but it was sort of already done, and a couple of guys, didn't like it either, but they weren't coordinated, so it happened. I didn't think it was good use of the money. I thought it was premature, and I'm not going to vote against it here either if I could. But I don't like voting on something if I can only vote one way.
Well, this is the problem.
That's not okay.
You can abstain. You can abstain. That's the issue here. We don't have any control of these monies. But Diane has to have us say move them off of VDOT's books into theirs.
Okay, is it seconded?
Seconded.
Okay, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
I'm abstaining.
Okay, Mr. Miller abstains. All right, so we move the transfers. Okay, Mr. Brewer.
Mr. Chairman, I have three items for you today. The first one is I presented last month the situation with our Economic Development Access Program. We have a resolution for your consideration today which recommends a two-year extension of that bond moratorium.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor? Or any discussion, please? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, that's done. We got the byway designation.
This is an extension of an existing byway located in Rappahannock County. It's an additional 5 miles that would be brought into the Virginia byway system, which would give us a total of just shy of 3,500 miles statewide.
Mr. Tom? Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
Item four is a request from Goochland County to reallocate some residual revenue sharing funds from a completed project to fund a new sidewalk project that they would be able to take to construction in June of this year.
Move approval, Mr. Clark.
There's a second.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Pitter's here.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. We're here today to request your approval of a $3.7 million allocation to the Mass Transit Reserve account. As you recall, this account was recommended in our December actions on the capital allocation process for our transit funds.
Is there a motion for approval transfer?
Move approval, Mr. Chairman.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. All right, now we're down to bids. Now, one thing you'll notice on here, we always had discussion on when you looked at the number to the right and to the left. Those are now apples and apples. That's the part of the contract that you see over to the right is what we thought the contractor was going to provide. So you now have good, you should have the, when you look at that, if we're over or under, that is a true over or under where we are with that part of the contract.
Times are changing.
Yeah, times are changing. You're right. They are. We have a few that are over. Now, it happens to be, and we'll let Mr. Siles talk, a place where we have a sole, you know, guy does most of the work in that part of the state, but nonetheless, I'll turn it over to Mr. Siles.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. Bring before you today both bid-build and design-build projects. In the bid-build project arena, on January 22nd, we brought in bids on 117 projects. This is one of our biggest lettings of the year. Those projects were valued at $293 million. Probably about $225 million of those are asphalt plant mix type contracts. The law requires that the CTB let any projects over $5 million. So there are 12 of those included in your ballot, and I'm prepared to answer any questions about those. They're all paving-type projects. Yes, sir?
Yes. In here, I see, like, within my district, I've got two $7 million contracts, plant tanks.
Yes, sir.
In some cases, so we'll call overlapping counties, one in four counties, the other is two. Why is there two contracts? Why isn't it just one? I don't understand why you have two $7 million. Why isn't there one $15 million?
Well, it could be for a couple of reasons. It could be either systems, doing secondary systems, which would be funded primarily with state funds. It could be counties. It could be just manageability of the contract, the location. Asphalt is very location-specific. You can't haul asphalt in a certain district, a distance, so sometimes they're organized so that you get competition amongst people. Otherwise, there'd be locations in the state where you would have no competition.
Yeah, so it's the same contractor, it's maintenance funds, it's all those elements. And it's,
Mr. Kilpatrick.
A couple of comments regarding that. One is that, again, as Mr. Siley said, we will advertise within a district. We may advertise multiple contracts. In some cases, we will advertise the interstate contract separate from all other systems. But even when we're combining systems in a contract, there's some advantage to having what I'll call a decent-sized bid and having multiple contracts. It drives competition. Now, in this particular case you're mentioning, same contractor ultimately got both contracts, but that's not always the case. So there's a balance where if we take in a particular construction district and lump all of the asphalt into one contract, you get again, you may drive out the if it's a single contractor that wins the bid.
So this is increased competition.
Yeah, absolutely.
That I understand. If that's the case, I understand.
Also, a couple of interesting points in terms of there are some bids that are above what we'd estimated, but there are a number that are below. The other piece is that we are seeing, especially in paving, we're seeing contractors coming in from adjoining states, both in Southwest Virginia as well as Maryland, D.C., coming into Virginia. And what that is doing is that, again, helping keep the prices down in areas where, I'll use Southwest Virginia as an example, where there is limited competition. I note here in that a couple of these contracts is a contractor out of Tennessee that's picked up some of the work down there. And again, that's good for us because it maintains competitive tension.
In past years, we've had only one competitor in that area.
Do you want us to move them in block?
Yeah, I think we're okay to move them in block. Is there a block?
Sorry.
Any more discussion? All those. Oh, yes.
When you have a big delta between the two, are you looking into that automatically as to why it was so far off?
Absolutely.
If we have to see a couple, because there's some that are fairly major.
We will take any time either a contract is high or low from the numbers you're seeing here are what we would call public numbers on our estimate. We also do what we'll call a confidential estimate internally to make sure that we know where our bids should come in. So we're doing an inside check on these bids. If a project,
as long as I know you're doing it.
Absolutely. We also check for what we call unbalanced bidding and obvious errors in bids. And sometimes we'll have to go back to the contractor and Don and his team will say, "Are you sure?" Because it appears there's an error in your bid. Because we don't want to award a contract when we know there's an obvious misstep or an error in the bid.
Thank you.
Any more comments? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay.
We also have three design build projects valued at about $45 million, and those are also listed in your ballot, and I'm prepared to answer any questions about those, if there are any. One in Fairfax, one in Loudoun, one in Carroll County.
Is there a motion for approval?
So moved.
Second?
Okay, second.
All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
No, hold on. Discussion, hold on. Mr. Lauback.
Just in general on this, I mean, I've raised this question before, I think you, Mr. Secretary, but are we now considering or looking at, even though we have budget figures and estimates on what these projects are going to be, keeping those in-house as opposed to letting the public know what they are, where the bidders know what we're willing to pay or think we might be willing to pay?
Well, and that's... Mr. Lauderdale, you've talked about that we put an estimate, or we put a budget, rather, in the six-year plan for right-of-way, for engineering, and for construction. And the question is really, does that drive the bidders to say, well, I'm going to bid the number that's in that contract or in that budget? We really, frankly, have not seen that. We've seen, even this letting, we're still seeing pretty good competitive tension. There's a bit of a challenge in lumping everything into one number. Frankly, a lot of our systems are not exempt from FOIA in terms of the public access. So I don't know that there's a real way to, I don't know what the right term is, but to blend the construction value into an overall project value. I think that the contractors would ultimately be able to get to it through our systems. Now, this estimate that I speak of, which is really an internal check to make sure that we're comfortable that the bids we receive are appropriate, That we can hold confidential. But again, because of the nature of the six-year plan and how the money flows in, I just think it would be very difficult to, I'll call it to blend or camouflage what we think the construction cost is going to be in our six-year plan.
But the key is, Slavak, is that we've talked a lot about with the, is a good competitive process. I mean, in other words, making sure we have a good competitive process.
It is, as long as you've got more than one bidder.
As long as you've got more than one bidder. You're right.
Yes.
I understand. Yep, you're right. Any other discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, I think that's it. Is there any new business to come before
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to bring one thing up, and just because I'm relatively new and trying to keep up, and I know Carol sometimes doesn't get the materials till right before we meet, but it would be very helpful for me at least to have these materials at least several days in advance so that we can go through them. It would help the meetings, I think, go faster, and I just, you know.
This past week was my fault. I'll make sure to get it out. I'll take that, but you, it's a good comment. Mr. Peake.
Mr. Secretary, I have not necessarily new business, but a comment. I appreciate the Secretary's efforts. What's been going on around 29 and what the Governor's office is dealing with, I know it's a touchy political situation, and I know there are a lot of different factions to deal with, so I appreciate the efforts to address the situation. And just for the rest of the board, and I know most of you have heard me talk about it a long time, I'm thinking, Route 29 starts North Carolina border, goes around there, there's one stoplight and tight squeeze, and then you get all the way to the outskirts of Lynchburg, and there are probably four in Campbell County as you approach the airport and the outskirts of Liberty University, four or five. Then you get on Route 29 just south of Lynchburg, and you go all the way to Charlottesville. There's one stoplight in Lovingston. That's in Nelson County. That was put in about 5 years ago. That is the only stoplight in Nelson County. So you go 60 miles from Lynchburg to Charlottesville with one stoplight, and you go from the North Carolina border up to the outskirts of Lynchburg, probably one stoplight, then there are four or five, which is too many, and we've talked to Campbell County about protecting that corridor. And then you have a 3 mile stretch in Charlottesville where you have 22 plus stoplights and traffic comes to a halt and a dead stop. And so I apologize for belaboring this point, but it is a significant issue for the Lynchburg District, which goes from the North Carolina line of Danville all the way to the end of Nelson County, where we have probably six stoplights on US 29 on our way to try and get to D.C., and then all of a sudden you have 20 or 30 in a 3 mile stretch. So thank you for your indulgence and your patience.
Any other comments or new business for the board? Okay, Carol, we're here next. I'm sorry, Mr. Cole.
Sir, is it possible, appreciate the legislative update, is it possible to get anything on a more timely basis as things change on some of the primary or the key legislative issues?
I can have either Joanne or Nick just shoot out as things change. Yeah, sure.
And the other thing that would be helpful is if VDOT has chosen to take a position, what VDOT position is.
Yeah, that right now there really are no positions because of the negotiations going on with the. The only thing we're taking is against, and that's based on if they're what and I'm just getting familiar with the process too. What happened in crossover? You know, everybody got their bills, and this week's budget we're all due this Sunday. So we got the first look at both the House and the Senate's bills. We had until Tuesday to identify to the governor's office what are major areas of concern. And in fact, the one thing I didn't bring up today is that there's a bill out there, and we just let it go. We're going to repeal the sale of diesel fuel. You have to turn your receipts in to get your rebate if you use it off-road. Well, now they're just going to give you $20 off your license renewal. Well, that costs us about $1.5 million. I mean, it's not a lot of money, but on the other hand, I mean, there's quite a few of those going through there, the most significant being the hybrid. But what we then do, up until then, we've been negotiating, trying to get things done, kill whatever. But now it's really in the governor's hands as to what he's going to raise to a level of concern. We've given him what our major concerns are. And some of the things y'all have raised today are on our major concerns. Whether or not they rise to his concern as he goes through what his plan is, that's up to him. I assume that a couple of ours will make it in, but I don't know that for a fact. Yes.
How much was the library going to be?
About $10 million. $10 million. $10 million a year. $10 million a year. The other one that we didn't talk about, I'll just quickly go, is that, and we were going to do this, is moving the DMV Easy Pass to DMV, the Easy Pass, eliminating the 50 cent or whatever it is per month. Mr. Lawson's favorite topic that I bring up. But that is now going to be a law that also tells us, and we didn't oppose that. We were going to move that way anyway in that regard. So.
One final thing. When is the timeline on converting to increasing sales taxes for the internet sales?
That is
January 15.
15, yeah, a year from now.
That doesn't happen.
Yeah, that will not be good news for our transit folk because they lose out on that if we revert to the additional fuel tax. And that's what I said. Okay, well, thank you very much. The meeting's adjourned. And,